Deuteronomy chapter 27. If you would stand while we read, as long as you can stand. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today, so it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, in order that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord the God of your fathers promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, "When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And for the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, orphan, and widow. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who lies with any animal. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father or of his mother. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 27:9. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God." This is a most glorious consideration in the plan and the purposes of God with the humanity whom he created to be in fellowship with himself. To this point, in the history of mankind, God had dealt with people in terms of individuals. He had those friends among men with whom he interacted on a basis in more depth than Creator with his creation. He fellowshipped with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden until the point of their defilement and their disobedience. Then there were those specific individuals throughout history, including Abraham, and as evidenced in his relationship with Moses, who was leading this people to the brink of the promised land. We read various accounts in Scripture of those who were close to God. However, in this passage, we see him drawing close to a nation of people with whom he planned to establish a communal and familial and national entity of the testimony of his greatness and his grace and his majesty and his provision. He would show himself as the only living and true Lord God Almighty who cared for and protected and kept an entire nation. The greater and holy supreme reason for this expanded national relationship is that it would be through this chosen people that God would send forth his only begotten Son in order to bring salvation unto the whole of humanity. It was never intended, much as the Jewish heritage considers themselves, that God would limit himself to just this one people. Throughout his word, there is the call to all the nations to come unto him. In the Old Testament, it was ordained that this people would be a light to the nations of the one true living Lord God Almighty. In the New Testament, that salvation was opened to every tongue and tribe and nation through the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. What we want to see is that it was at this point in the history of the Old Testament that God made it clear that he was so interested in a people unto himself who would honor and would obey him. His love was abounding unto his creation in the course of first dealing with individuals, then with families, then with communities, then a nation, then the entire world. There was no end to the course of the way he was going to express himself unto those whom he had brought into being in order to be the essence of life. Again, we have the pronouncement to this entire people of his divine purpose in Deuteronomy 26, 16 through 19. As they would so honor and obey him, so would he keep and bless and multiply them in all the glory of his presence as their Lord and God. Deuteronomy 26, 16 through 19. Bless you. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. And the Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, and that he shall set you high above all nations which he has made for praise, fame, and honor, and that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken. This national promise was reiterated in the prayer of David that is recorded in 2 Samuel 7, 21 through 26. He was considering all that God had done. He was especially thankful for the promise that of the Lord having this people as his own, and that he would put a king on the throne from the house of David. This king is the Lord Jesus Christ, and his throne and his dominion is far exceeding beyond just the throne of Israel. 2 Samuel 7, 21 through 26. For the sake of thy word and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all this greatness to let thy servant know. For this reason thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, and there is no God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for thee, and awesome things for thy land, before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed for thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For thou hast established for thyself thy people Israel as thine own people forever, and thou, O Lord, hast become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as thou hast spoken, that thy name may be magnified forever, by saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of thy servant David be established before thee. The nation of Israel held close to this promise and to this setting up of itself as God's very own people. However, they lost sight of the reality that they were to be a light to all the nations of the world. They began to consider themselves as the end-all of God's handiwork. They thought that all the other nations of the world were to be subjected to them rather than unto the Lord, who is God of all, the only living Lord God Creator. Anyone who threatened that belief was treated with anger and with hostility. This included the very Son of God, who is the root of Jesse, the Messiah, and the promised King from the house of David. This was highlighted on the day of Pentecost by the Apostle Peter in Acts 2, 14 through 39. Please open to it and read along with me. Peter brought to the forefront of the people's thoughts the reality that the great King David was prophesying about Jesus when he mentioned the one who would sit eternally on the throne. Acts 2, 14 through 39. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Therefore my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. To all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome in the 6th chapter, makes known the difference that is in place in the course of to whom we owe our fealty. When we were lost in our sin, we had no choice but to live in slavery to the utter disregard of the Lord God Almighty. We were shackled to the sinful nature of our birth. However, now, when we are part of God's own possession in Jesus Christ, we are freed from that slavery to sin. We are now completely committed to the one who purchased our redemption through his own blood. He has made us a nation together with all those who are chosen by God unto himself, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 16 through 18. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And the apostle continues with the truth that we are the recipients of eternal life through our being in Jesus Christ. Verses 22 and 23. Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, he again highlights who we used to be apart from Jesus and what he did for us through his death and his resurrection. Please note, this was not just for the Jews who would believe in him. He has opened his salvation to all the Gentile nations as well. The saving grace and mercy of God was completely extended, as was always the plan of God, to everyone who will but receive God's free gift of salvation. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Then, in Ephesians 5, 1 through 10, the apostle describes how we are to operate as the people of God, made into the very family of God through Jesus Christ. We are no longer to be living in the means and the manner of this world, lost in its sin and corruptness, as was true of us before our salvation. Now, in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in full accordance and obedience to the Word of God, we are free to walk in the purity of all that will bring honor and delight and pleasure to our Lord, our Savior, our God. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 12, once again brings to the forefront what God had put into place through the establishment of a nation that was to be after his heart. It was not that they were any better, or any larger, or any richer, or any more powerful than any of the other countries. It was the opposite, in fact. They were a people who had to be released from slavery to Egypt. They were a stiff-necked and obstinate nation, continually looking for and seeking after the gods and the customs and the rituals of those nations surrounding them. As much as they were told not to do, even in the writing on stone by the very hand of God, they still did it with no regard for how it reflected upon God. Yet, it was from this poor and humble people that God would bring forth the Savior of the entire human population, who would but receive that freely offered gift of His love. Accordingly, this new people needed to reflect, as the nation of old did not, the full glory and majesty and splendor and holiness of the Lord God. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 12. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. This has ever been God's redemptive plan. He works to bring forth the people who will reflect the reality of His so great love and His power and His majesty. This is who we are in Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. So be it. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God." Amen.